The instant the water closed over the cabin roof, Flett dove at full speed and hung a sharp turn to starboard, and not a moment too soon. An audible thump rocked the luxury submarine as a missile struck the water and exploded almost where they would have been if not for Flett's quick maneuver. Pitt returned to the observation viewport in the bow and took up his vigil again. It was easier this time. Flett did not close the gap at full speed as before. They were approaching a stationary ship without having to dodge its propellers. A minute, then two, then Pitt saw the hull fill up the viewport. "We're on her, Jimmy." Flett expertly reversed the engines to slow speed and brought the sub alongside the hull no more than 6 feet away. Then he increased speed as they moved toward the section of the stern that contained the engine room machinery. In the control cabin, Giordino studied the screen of the computerized underwater radar system intently.
"Coming up in 30 feet.
Flett dutifully made a turn using the reverse thrusters until the bow and the charge on the end of the spar were pointing directly against the invader's hull plates opposite the vulnerable engine room. The magnetic charge clunked against the hull, and the luxury sub quickly backed away. When they reached a safe zone, Giordino grinned. "Once more with feeling." Then he pushed the detonator switch. Another dull boom raced through the water as the Wanderer shook off the pressure wave.
"That's a mortal blow," said Flett.
Pitt entered the control cabin from below. "Jimmy, I assume you have a safety escape chamber?" Flett nodded.
"Of course.
Do you have dive gear on board?"
"There are 4 sets of suits and gear."
Pitt looked at Giordino. "Al, what say you and I get wet?"
"I was about to suggest the same thing," Giordino said. "Better we reload the spar underwater than risk a missile down our throats."
They didn't waste a moment putting on wetsuits. They could suffer the cold water wearing only their shorts in the time it would take them to place the third charge on the end of the spar. Going through the airlock, they attached the explosive charge and were back aboard in less than 7 minutes, their bodies numb from the 65-degree water. Immediately, Flett sent the Coral Wanderer on her final attack. Before Pitt and Giordino had come up into the control cabin, he had rammed the charge against the hull and was running astern. Giordino toweled his wet body, then picked up the explosive remote before putting on his clothes. At Flett's command, he flicked the little lever, detonating the charge and blowing another huge hole in the stern of the Mongol invader. The deck in the wheelhouse gave a lurch as the second charge blew a second gaping void in the tanker's hull. The blast seemed to come from right beneath Kanai's feet. The stern superstructure shuddered from the blast. The next explosion sealed the ship's fate. Harmon Carey stepped off of the ship's outside stairway. Blood oozed from half a dozen wounds. He hung onto a navigation counter to catch his breath.
"You should have gone to the escape sub," Kanai said.
"I won't desert the ship without you."
"I'm grateful for your loyalty."
"Have you set the charges?"
Carey asked.
"They're timed for 20 minutes, Kanai answered.
"We'll be lucky to be a safe distance away," said Carey,
seeing the anguish of defeat on Kanai's profile. The ship took a sudden lurch, and the deck tilted backwards.
"Are the men clear?" Kanai asked. "As far as I know, they've all left their posts for the sub."
Kanai took one last look at the panel with the explosive charge timer. The red numbers on the digital clock were ticking down toward detonation. At least the mission wasn't a total failure. Some death and damage were better than none at all, he thought perversely. Carey pushed the button for the bottom deck and hoped for the best. The elevator trembled and jerked, but descended slowly until it reached its stop at the bilge deck just above the keel. Kanai was the last man to drop through the hatch into the main passenger cabin of the escape sub. 6 men, 3 of them wounded, sat in seats opposite one another. All that remained of the entire Viper team. Above them, they could hear the Mongol invader groaning and howling from the stress as the bow lifted into the air.
She was only minutes away from sliding onto the bottom stern first. Kanai was about to engage the propulsion motors when he glanced through the bubble-shaped windshield and saw a strange craft approaching out of the murky water ahead. At first he thought it might be a private yacht that had been caught up in the battle and was sinking, but then he realized it was the vessel he'd seen earlier slipping beneath the waves. As it drew closer, he could see a long metal spar sticking out from the bow. Too late, he discovered the mysterious boat's purpose. It surged forward until its metal spar rammed into the mechanism holding the escape sub to the bottom of the tanker's hull, effectively jamming the release pins. Frantically, Kanai worked the handle of the release mechanism. It failed to respond. While feverishly yanking on the release mechanism handle, Kanai stared into the green void at the sub hanging in the water. To his growing horror, he recognized the man sitting inside the large viewing port. "Pitt!" he gasped. He shook his fist at Pitt as the great hull above began to press the escape sub into the bottom silt. Pitt spread his lips into a wide smile that showed every tooth and waved bye-bye as Jimmy Flett moved the Coral Wanderer astern so they wouldn't be buried under the great ship, too. Kanai died, never knowing that the explosive charges had failed to erupt under the monstrous propane tanks. He died not knowing that a shell fired from the 25-millimeter bow guns of the Timothy Firm had sliced through the main wire leading to the detonators. The heroic fight by the Coast Guardsmen had not been in vain.